This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also download the podcast. You can check it out at Sirius XM Channel 80. I guess it's not at Channel 80. It's on Channel 80. Proper preposition. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's National French Fry Day. Who got the best fries in your town is the question. I had a very, very controversial hot take about this. I admit the greatest variation or variance between how good they are hot and how bad they are cold. But my answer is actually In-N-Out Burger. That's right. When you get that In-N-Out fry hot, you could watch them slice the potatoes right in front of you. I like food that tastes like it is in its natural form. I think that's why I like sushi. You feel you have a little salmon sushi, you feel like you're a bear in a river catching a salmon in your mouth or something.
I agree. And what is it with these cold pizza people?
Oh, cold pizza is disgusting. Cold. But it's, you know, gross. My daughters hate food that tastes like the food that it's like. They like the more processed, the better. The farther away it is from the original thing, the more they like it. If it's indistinguishable and kind of beige, you know, and bland, oh, they love it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. You know, come to think of it, I don't like mayonnaise, Raj. I won't eat mayonnaise. It nauseates me. But I got to tell you, I think I love every other kind of food. Like, I'm trying to think of a food I dislike.
I made a discovery on the show. You know, Brendan, he won't answer the question. He says he doesn't like fries. You ever meet someone who doesn't like French fries?
That's not what I said.
Yeah, he did.
What did you say, Brendan?
Because they're gross.
He asked me, do I have a favorite fry? And I said, I'm not a big fry guy, so I can't specifically say that. But I don't dislike them.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I like this without the mask on. I'm very used to seeing Brendan with the mask on. All of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. We're maskless now, baby. So you have no excuse for you not hearing me.
That's well. I noticed I didn't say what. I got you loud and clear.
That was your go-to before. Now you can hear me clearly on all the counts, all the things we're relaying.
Huh?
I'm telling you, no mask. So listen up.
Well, did you hear Greg Popovich speaking of hearing? Oh, that's some hosting right there. Popovich tried to bully a reporter. The reporter stood up for himself. And I think Popovich went from bully to kind of annoyed but fair coach. Listen to the exchange. After the USA, Team USA, lost their second consecutive exhibition game. It has never happened before. But they lost to Nigeria and then Australia. And the reporter asked them a question. And here is Greg Popovich's Team USA head coach of Team USA's response.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. So, Can I finish my statement? Are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk, and then I'll listen to you. When you make statements about in the past just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on, and that's incorrect.
I think Pop was being hyperbolic there when he said nobody's blowing anyone out. Of course, blowouts occur in series, in tournaments, in every league. You know, you're always going to get a blowout here and there. But what Popovich is talking about there seems to me to be a disagreement about, like, the reporter's basically saying, like, here's the average margin of victory. But that average can be padded against bad teams. He's saying with the good teams in international tournament play, there aren't usually blowouts. That's not the norm. You know, more than you get blowouts in any other competition, I'd presume. Anyway, I don't know. You think Pop was okay the way he did that, or was bullying a little bit? A little bit, insulted him a little bit. U.S. Men's basketball has not sent our best. And this is the cycle. We send our dream team, Michael Jordan and company, and then the Redeem team, LeBron James and company, and all the other best players, American, you know, best American players, and we destroy the whole world, leave it smoldering in ashes, right? And then it was like, all right, we proved our point, and these guys have won enough gold medals, and it's not their number one priority anyway. That's winning NBA championships, what they get paid for. It's the actual highest level of basketball competition in the world. And we start sending our B team. You know, some guys who'd be on our A team, but mostly guys who wouldn't make the cut. You know, there's no Steph, there's no Harden, there's no Kawhi, there's no LeBron. That's four of our five starters. Oh, we have Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is not a starter on our best starting five. He might be a sixth man or a seventh man, but he's not a starter. KD, yep, KD's one starter. We have one starter from our all-USA team and one rotation piece or one sixth or seventh man in Damian Lillard. That's what we're sending over. So it's still much more talented than the other team, obviously. However, the other team wants it more. This is the biggest stage for most of their guys. The other team, half the roster is NBA or EuroLeague players, caliber players. And the other teams played together. They have multi-year commitments from players for their national team. And so we don't have that. It's like in college in the tournament. You know, one and done style teams with all these high, you know, great recruits, but you know they're going right to the NBA after that year. Haven't had, you know, generally don't win the championship. They might make it to the Elite Eight, the Final Four, but they generally don't go all the way. They run into a team with upperclassmen who've played to, who are also talented, right? None of them are going to be drafted first overall, but they may have, you know, two or three different players who are going to play in the NBA at some point, and they've been playing together for 2 or 3 years. Well, that team wins, and that's what Team USA is, you know. Well, why doesn't it happen when Team USA sends their very best? Well, the reason we're sending our very best is usually because we just lost, so we're highly motivated. But beyond that, at a certain point, there's just too much talent. You know, the Brooklyn Nets, if they could have had a real run with KD, Harden, and Kyrie all healthy, would have, you know, hardly ever lost. They're just too talented. In fact, they were beating the brakes off the Bucks, and Harden wasn't even playing yet. Just KD and Kyrie were beating the brakes off the Bucks, like killing them. So, yeah, if we sent our very, very best, even they usually are motivated because it's usually coming off a less than spectacular performance by Team USA, which is why we've rededicated ourselves to sending our best. But also, at a certain point, like if it's Steph, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, and KD, I, they don't have to try their very best. They're still going to beat the other team. It's too many great players. It's not what we have over there right now. By the way, we were 52-2 in exhibitions before the last couple games. Now we're 52-4. We were 0-2 this week. It's never happened before. Join Shohei Ohtani and the rest of the AL superstars. You should call it the superstar game instead of the all-star game. As they take on Fernando Tatis Jr. and the NL stars. Coverage of the 2001 MLB All-Star Game begins tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. When I was a kid, boy, and being a Yankees fan, I was an American League fan. There was a stretch of years, I forgot when, I guess in the 80s, where the NL would win every year. Oh, it made me so mad. NL was just dominating. And I realized as I got older what was happening. Even when the AL had higher payrolls and everything, the NL was dominating. But the NL teams could concentrate their resources in fewer slots. AL teams were watered down because you had, like, the DH was a highly paid position. Like, you had to spend some resources on your designated hitter. NL didn't have to worry about that. Consequently, they could spend a little more in terms of resources at every other position. Raj is shaking his head no because he's, an NL fan or something. But, Raj, think about playing fantasy baseball even. If you have fewer slots to spend your resources on, you can make each slot better. Yeah, what is it, Raj?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but how about what I heard the Hit King say? You know what Hit King is, right?
Pete Rose?
That's right. Here's what Pete Rose said, who played on the 70 teams in the NL. He said it was mostly AstroTurf, fast surface, and he said one thing, we had more brothers. And Pete Rose said it. He said we were more athletic, and we were on a faster turf, so gappers turned doubles into triples, and they were able to, their outfielders were able to run balls down better than the AL. That's what the Hit King said.
Let me think about that, because right in the middle of this, Ricky Henderson was on the AL team. Ricky Henderson was the best base stealer in baseball.
I'm talking like 70s, man. Like I said, before Ricky really was in his things, we're talking, you know,
I'd have to look up how, like, when the NL streak of dominance started and when it ended. Because at a certain point, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry resulted in such huge payrolls for both teams that in order to survive in the AL, especially the AL East, you had to spend a ton of money, and the best players were just in those divisions, and so the AL started dominating. But for years there, NL was dominant. Dominant. And that extended through the early 80s for sure. Because I remember as a kid being so disappointed every year that the NL would beat, you know, my American League. Anyway, the Angels' Shohei Ohtani lost in the first round of the home run derby. He was the top-seeded guy there. Juan Soto, the Nationals' Juan Soto, beat him 31-28 in a showdown that went into a second tiebreaker. Ohtani, by the way, is the starting pitcher in Tuesday night's All-Star game, and he's leading off. Now, think about this. Especially in today's analytic world, usually when I was a kid, the best hitter hit third in your lineup. And the best power hitter hit fourth, right, if he wasn't also the best hitter. And the best on-base percentage guy or the fastest guy or sometimes both hit leadoff. And the guy who could push the guys around, who could, you know, drag button, stuff like that, would hit second. The guy who didn't strike out a lot and had a good on-base percentage but maybe wasn't as fast as the leadoff guy would hit second. But nowadays, the best hitter generally hits second in the lineup. That's what the analytics say you should, you know, put your best hitter. And I suppose that's because sometimes there's a guy on for him, so if he hits for power, he can drive him in. But also because he's hitting second, he gets more at-bats. Well, if you're hitting leadoff, especially in today's game, it means you're a really good offensive player. Because in terms of the analytics, you get more plate appearances. Now think about what that means about Ohtani. He's leading the league in home runs and triples. So it's an athlete stat. You're driving the ball and you're scooting around those bases. By the way, he's stolen 12 bases, only been caught 4 times. So he's a smart and fast base runner. He's also leading the league in slugging percentage, which if you're leading the league in home runs and triples, there's a good chance you're leading the league in slugging percentage. If you're hitting for a decent average, which he is, .279. So you're the best power hitter. And you're getting the most plate appearances, which indicates maybe they also think you're the best hitter. And you're the starting pitcher. That's Ruthian. You know what else was Ruthian? The shots he hit. Because it's one thing to lead the league in home runs. Like Roger Maris set the real home run record single season with 61 home runs in 1961. They went to 162 games. People said there should be an asterisk because Ruth hit his 60 in 154 games. But still, Roger Maris wasn't fueled by steroids. Like all the guys who have hit over 61 home runs since then have been. Like McGuire, bogus. Sosa, bogus. And Bonds, bogus. The home run record, bogus. Bogus records. I don't count them. And then I never did. They're bogus. They would never have done it as clean players, and that can be proven. But anyway, just look at the home run to at-bat ratios, their ages, and what happened at a certain time when their foreheads all tripled in size overnight. Okay, now. But when Maris broke Ruth's record, he was like pulling the ball down a short Yankees right field porch. He wasn't hitting Ruthian shots. Ohtani is not only the starting pitcher in the All-Star game, by the way, with a solid ERA, which was much better before the Yankees blew him up in less than an inning, right? The ERA is 3.49, but if you take out that one start against the Yankees, I think it's sub-3. And way more strikeouts than innings pitched, which I know most starting pitchers have nowadays, but still very impressive. And a whip barely over 1.2, which is good. Starting pitcher in the All-Star game, leading the league in home runs and slugging percentage and triples. But he's not just yanking it down the right field porch in Yankee Stadium like Roger Maris. No. He's doing what Babe Ruth did, which is hit home runs that you go, oh, my God. Like, the real show was not, I don't care about the number of home runs the guys hit in the home run derby. I'm there to see moonshots. Moonshots. Ohtani hit a couple, which I looked up. They did go over 500 feet, right? But when you saw them, You were like, that looks like a 500 footer. I saw it where it was five something and five something. It was over. I mean, he was hitting them to the moon. Jeff Bezos almost got hit by one of those shots that Ohtani hit. He was orbiting the earth. He's like, what's that? Oh, Ohtani must be hitting. He destroyed that ball. So he's hitting Ruthian shots, and he's dominating both sides. You understand that when Babe Ruth, like, no one's done it in 100 years. People who argue with me, you know, Babe Ruth can't be the greatest player of all time. He played in a segregated age. First of all, there's a book out that says Babe Ruth was partly African-American, right? He may have been more integrated league than they realized. But the point is that, and by the way, there's been kind of studies and evidence to show that the Negro Leagues were on par with the major leagues. They're considered a major league now in terms of the quality. Japanese league is considered like a 4A league. It's better than AAA, not quite majors. But the Negro Leagues back then are now considered major leagues based on the quality of the play and how they did against major league teams when they played. So I understand that Ruth didn't play in an integrated league, but he was by far the best hitter who ever lived until Ted Williams came around, and he was probably still a little bit better than Ted Williams as a hitter. And then later when Barry Bonds was juiced out of his mind, he was as good or maybe slightly better hitter than Babe Ruth, but not as a clean player he wasn't. And Bonds was a great hitter as a clean player. And Ruth was also not only the best lefty in the American League, but the best big game pitcher in baseball back then. Consecutive scoreless innings pitch streak in the World Series. So I'm always telling people, like, I get that he played in a segregated league. But, like, you know, not by choice, but so did Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, right? And if Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson were the same guy, they'd be Babe Ruth. That's the thing about Ruth. No one's ever come along to do what he did. There are guys who've pitched and hit in different leagues around the world, but not as the best pitcher in their league, who's also maybe the best hitter ever, or some version of that. Ohtani is starting the All-Star game as the starting pitcher of the All-Star game. And he's hitting leadoff while leading the league in home runs and the slugging percentage and hitting moonshots. It hasn't been done in 100-plus years. But Ruth was playing against, here's what's legitimate, not just that he was playing in a segregated league, he was playing like against farmers and stuff. And like blue-collar guys who had to like day jobs and off-season jobs. And like didn't have enough to eat sometimes. And certainly weren't in the best of shape all the time. And it wasn't like they came from three generations of baseball players and were trained in leagues that like were like farms where they grew baseball players, subjected to international competition and all that. In other words, the league in which Ohtani is doing this is much, much more difficult to do it in than the league in which Babe Ruth did it. It's amazing. The two most impressive thing in sports this year both happened in baseball. It's been DeGrom on the hill. DeGrom's like having one of the greatest seasons of all time for a pitcher. And it's Ohtani both sides of the ball. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Coming up, Khabib Nurmagomedov had something to say about Conor McGregor getting back in the octagon. Do you think it was complimentary or insulting? I'm curious. What do you think it was? Friends demand, excuse me, not friends demand. Friends, comma, pause. Demand for unskilled workers is sky high. Do you want that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. And My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. It's the old Chris Rock line. You want a career, not a job, right? Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You can start your life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Khabib, I'm Connor. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
We'll be right back.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on XM Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Khabib Nurmagomedov, former lightweight champion of the world, who is one of the best MMA fighters I've ever seen. I know he doesn't have as deep a resume as some of the others, but he's as good as anyone I've seen. John Jones is the popular pick right now for greatest of all time, pound for pound. Once upon a time, you know, it was Anderson Silva, and the kind of preferences and tastes change. And you get more information on the guys they fought. Like, the wins can look better or worse depending on who they beat. But at any rate, Nurmagomedov, you know, his wrestling was out of control, and he beat the hell out of Conor, and hates Conor. Like, Poirier is not the first guy who still does not like Conor after they fought. He told ESPN's Brett Okamoto, who I worked with, by the way, on UFC 264, that he thinks the sport should stop supporting Conor McGregor after his recent loss to Dustin Poirier. Here's the quote. "I saw a lot of tweets try to support him. How are you going to support this guy? When kids, young generation, watch him, watch this sport," said Nurmagomedov, who added that, quote, "the sport is going to go in a bad way if it supports bad people like McGregor." I would say that, I mean, I've had interaction with Conor McGregor just like running into each other. And I found him to be a real nice guy, actually. I think a lot of what happens is, like, what's really MMA? What's the UFC? The UFC is, what if the WWE were real? Right? That's really what it is. What if, because boxing has a strict set of rules. You're only using your hands. You have gloves on and everything. And wrestling is two guys in a fight. But they're not actually fighting. It's acrobatic, it's athletic, but they're not actually fighting. It's theater, it's drama, but they're not fighting. It's scripted. The UFC is the highest level of what if the WWE was real? And it rewards the nature of you know, one-on-one competition, especially with fighting to a fight crowd, rewards obnoxious behavior in the press. It rewards it. Muhammad Ali bragged, partly because that's who he is. The same thing as who Conor is. You know, that's who they are. But they, as they say nowadays, leaned into it because Muhammad Ali went to a wrestling match once and saw Gorgeous George in the 60s, early 60s. And he's like, boy, everyone's booing him. They hate this guy. But look, the place is packed. And he realized, don't put the handcuffs on. If I have an impulse to brag and stuff, I can be the guy that some people love to hate. And Conor is very much in that vein. Fans love him, and everyone else hates him, right? Like Floyd Mayweather was the second half of his career. The nature of the promotion, of the way fighters promote themselves, encourages bad behavior. I'm not apologizing or excusing bad behavior by Conor. The question is he a bad guy? That has not been my experience, a limited experience, but has not been my experience talking to him, running into him, you know, off camera, like outside of a work environment, seeing him interact with, you know, family and stuff like that and friends. But time will tell. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Best fries. It is National French Fry Day. My controversial hot take is that from the fast food chains, it is in fact, and I'm going to preface this by saying, my pick, I have to acknowledge, has also maybe the greatest variance between when it's hot and cold. In other words, when this fry I'm about to tell you is cold, it's inedible. But when it's hot, it might be the best one. In-N-Out Burger, that's right, I said it. You can see them cut the potatoes right in front of you. I like food that tastes like it like you can taste what it was in its original form. I can feel the person, you know, picking the spud out of the ground, the potato out of the ground with the dirt still on it when I eat those In-N-Out fries when they're fresh out of the fryer. What about you, Raj? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I do enjoy those fries, the In-N-Out ones. Like you say, they're hot, they're delicious, the perfect amount of salt. But I got a sleeper. Okay. I got one many people haven't heard of, but if you've been to this place in the last 10 years, you might be surprised how good their fries are, and it is Wendy's, my friend.
Yeah,
Wendy's has some excellent fries, and I heard it's the salt they use.
But their burgers fell off, Raj. Their burgers really fell off.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I remember if you had a Wendy's burger, that little square burger, you're like, oh, man, this is delicious.
Oh, remember back in the day?
No, not anymore. Nope.
Maybe that's it. Maybe because they went circular that they lost it. They lost their touch and with that. Now,
are they circles now? I think you're right. I think
they are.
Damn, they got to start cutting them into squares again.
Now, we would ask Brendan, but he hates fries, so he chose not to be a part of this.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't like French fries, huh?
Yeah, but the Wendy's is still square, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
When was the last time you had one?
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago. It looked pretty square to me.
All right. Well, I stand corrected. I thought they were round. But anyway, the fries are bomb.
Brendan's living in the past. He's nibbling them into squares and pretending he's getting them that way.
A surprise sorts of French fries that a caller brought up earlier that are bomb. I don't know why. Del Taco for some reason.
Really?
I really go to something. Yeah, they have these blue crinkle fries the way the guy said, and they're delicious.
Yeah, you know what? The main thing is, like, how do people mess fries up? That's the question. When you have a fry and you're like, it ain't very good. It's like, damn, you had to try to mess that up. That's an easy food to get right.
Yeah, it's difficult to mess up, but at least we like them.
Raj, someone asked Patrick Mahomes about Justin Herbert this season. Wait till you hear
Justin.
What Patrick Mahomes had to say. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman show today? I can tell you that we talked about Team USA, and we talked about French fries, and we talked about a little UFC and some LeBron James, and oh, the time we had. We learned that Brendan hates French fries. I don't know why. No one knows why. But for some reason, he does. You can download both hours of the show daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Going to get to what Mahomes said about Justin Herbert in a second, but guys have your favorite fry spots. It is National French Fry Day. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Chris in Maui, where's the best fry spot?
Hi, Max. It's more of a unicorn fry. There's only 213 locations, but Nathan's famous.
Nathan's
famous?
I mean,
I think
like
you'd like it a lot because it's got the huge potato. Nathan's hot dogs, and they have a huge potato taste. It's one of the best fries on the planet.
Now, is this one of the crisscrossy fries? What are they called? What are those things called? Raj, you know what the name of those are?
It's waffle fries.
Waffle fries. Don't they have waffle fries at Nathan's? To my recollection, it was waffle fries. I don't remember.
No, it's a crinkle cut, but it's extra large. So it's got a lot of potato
crinkle
taste.
Crinkle cut. I see. I remember, maybe I'm thinking of it wrong, but I remember Nathan's being overly, like, I don't like the fry when it's too fried and bubbly on the outside, you know what I mean? Raj, you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh,
it tastes cheap. Like they put it in the same oil and everything.
Yeah. Like it got blisters and stuff.
Yeah, I don't want the blisters, no. So Patrick Mahomes, do we have sound on that, Raj? Do we have Mahomes? I mean, it's very, very quick. Let me just tell you that Last Take is brought to you by Dell. Upgrade your business during Dell Technologies Black Friday in July event. Get savings up to 50% and take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback on earth, was asked about Justin Herbert. Listen to what he said.
Watch out for Justin Herbert next year. I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah.
Look out for Justin Herbert this year. I'll see it when I believe it. Now, Stephen A. pointed out on First Take that, look, they play in the same division. Justin Herbert gave him hell last year as a rookie early on in the season with not very good team and a bad head coach. Justin Herbert's the real deal. Now, he is not going to be Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. But how can I put this? If I were to put quarterbacks in tiers, I'd have Mahomes and Rodgers in their own tier. And you have to put Brady in there, too. It's inconvenient for this because he's not a super athletic quarterback and he's very old. So, like, let me leave Brady out and just talk about talent. So there's Mahomes and Rodgers in tier one. And then I would put, like, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson at the head of tier three. I think Justin Herbert's by himself in tier two. I would take Justin Herbert, given his contract also. You could argue that Justin Herbert has the most trade value in the NFL at the moment because you have to take into account his age, accomplishment, like has he shown that he can do it, ability to stay healthy, knock wood so far, contract, and years left on his rookie deal. Justin Herbert now is where people, if Trevor Lawrence pans out, remember, Trevor Lawrence, the most hyped quarterback prospect since at least Andrew Luck. And if Trevor Lawrence lives up to the hype, he'll have a rookie year like the one Justin Herbert just had. So if you think Trevor Lawrence would be an even better trade asset, like he would get even more in a trade, fetch, he's even more valuable, I would dispute that because Trevor Lawrence has not shown in the NFL that he can do, not yet, what Justin Herbert just did. And yet, since Herbert did it in his rookie season, he has all the rest of his rookie contract to go. Now think about that. In the meantime, Joe Burrow's excellent. He was not as good as Justin Herbert when they were both healthy, and he wasn't healthy. Tua was not as good as Herbert, obviously. Josh Allen was excellent, but he's been in the league a bit already. He's got to get paid. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. They're expensive all of a sudden, and I think that this, even as soon as this year, I think Herbert will be better than both those guys. That's how much I think of him. Doesn't mean he'll ever be Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he will. I think he has a chance. Justin Herbert has a chance to be like the third best quarterback in football this year. I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't rule it out either. I was very impressed with Herbert last year. And that was for a head coach that couldn't keep his job. Now, we have to wait and see. Like Matthew Stafford on ESPN's list of the top 10 quarterbacks, which is Jeff Darlington and I discussed and decided, it was speculative. Like you're not just basing it on what they did it by the end of last season, but where you believe they'll be this year. Or else probably Kyler Murray isn't in there over Ryan Tannehill at 10. And Stafford isn't at 6 because I think people are projecting how he'll be on the Rams. But Herbert's at 9, and it's not like he's playing on a great team. He has a lot of offensive weapons, but he wasn't playing for a great coach. And part of it is speculative. The downside, the danger for him really is, I was talking about Stafford. Stafford is at 6, I think, because people had, remember early in his career, it was always like year after year, it was Stafford has top 5 talent. Not saying he's a top 5 quarterback, but he has top 5 talent. But he hasn't panned out in terms of playoff success. Now, we're blaming that on the Lions. We'll see with the Rams. A lot at stake for Stafford right now. And I would say that that's the floor for Justin Herbert. The floor for him is Matt Stafford. That's a hell of a floor after his rookie year. What's the ceiling? Dan Marino? Gus in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, the best fries is in Tam's Burgers in Linwood, California. Hmm. And next time you're in California, you got to hit Tam's Burgers in Linwood. Best spot right there.
Spell it for me. Spell it for me.
Tam's, T-A-M-S, Tam's in Linwood, California, Southern California.
T as in Thomas, A-M-S, Tam's?
Tam's, yeah.
Roger, do you understand what he's saying? Am I hard of hearing? Which letters is he saying?
I think he's saying Tam's. I'm looking it up here. There are some out
Tam's
here.
Tam's Burger.
In,
yep, I see it.
Something. There we
got
go.
Got the best fries. I got to be honest. Those fries look pretty good.
Yeah. Those shrimps. Oh, chicken.
My favorite fries, like if we're not talking fast food, just favorite fries, are like thick steak fries. A little salt and a lot of pepper on some thick steak fries. Those are awesome.
It's out here. Nice and filling.
And by the way, we have all to admit, McDonald's has always done fries very well.
Changed them up a little bit, though, Max. Changed them up.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I
say they're probably
healthier for
you.
You think everything has changed. Without Wendy's changed, without McDonald's, nothing's changed.
Oh, shut up, Brendan. You're still nibbling your Wendy's into squares still to convince yourself this doesn't...
Well, McDonald's made their fries circles, and I don't know.
Wait, Brendan, what did you say were the best fries again?
I didn't give an answer because I'm not a fry guy.
Not a fry guy. I've never heard of this. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shenan Gola Jr. coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.